Big Show. As local as Alfred Deakin and David Hobson. 3BA, more Ballarat.
Let's shoot the breeze with Alex Chelios from thebigsmoke.com.au. Morning to you, Alex.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. Have you had a good week?
Yeah, so far.
How's the weather up in Sydney town? Very ordinary down here today.
It's completely grey and misty.
Yeah, well, we've got grey and we've had some very heavy rain over the last 12 hours or so. So, well, that's all right. We'll just stay indoors and be nice and warm.
I like that weather.
Yeah. What, the grey and overcast?
Yeah.
Why? How does it make you feel?
Like I'm one with the world.
A lot of people have problems with knee joints, but jelly could be the answer. I love jelly. What's your favourite colour?
I love jelly too. I love the red one, whatever flavour that is.
Oh, okay. Well, that's sort of like a raspberry flavour. I'm in love with the orange flavour. So if I ever need a damaged knee joint fixed by jelly, I want the orange type, all right?
You're like literally the only person I know in the world that likes orange jelly.
All right. What about the green? Because that's my second favourite.
Green's okay. But this isn't jelly that you would want to eat.
Oh.
This is jelly that's donated from umbilical cord.
Oh, I'm not so disappointed now.
And it stimulates the growth of the cushioning cartilage. So the way researchers have found is that with the bones that rub together and the inflammation and the pain of the joint, they can actually increase likelihood of the damage to the joints being reversed by what they call Wharton's jelly.
So again, just reiterating, this is jelly from the umbilical cord and not jelly from the packet on the supermarket shelf.
This is a form of stem cells, yep, and they've done tests and they've found that this is actually possible in terms of increasing likelihood of not requiring a knee replacement.
This is now a totally disappointing story to me because I'm thinking to myself, the surgeon could put a zip in my knee and I could unzip it and just feed myself anytime I wanted to, but no.
Or you could just lie there in bed with your sore knee and then just pour jelly on there and rub it into the kneecap. That would help.
Talk to us about the science behind why gossip is good for us, according to a neuroscientist.
Neuroscientists looked into the connection between people. Often, gossip is a complex communication tool because it's often looked down upon, especially if you're in the workplace. Bosses don't want their staff gossiping. But researchers are looking into how this actually increases a sense of community. So they observed a series of groups and they found that the participants were more likely to feel connected in the workplace or feel like a community if they gossiped with each other. So that could be lighthearted gossip, so talking about, you know, did you know that so-and-so is doing this? Or it could be a more negative form of gossip, which obviously you wouldn't want to promote. But it's the idea that it's the social dynamics in it, that sort of setting that actually causes connection. And the research also found that 14% of all daily conversations in the workplace is actually a form of gossip.
I've got to go. I've got to do some gossiping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I work from home by myself.
Yeah, well, yeah. Who do you gossip to? Your lovely dogs.
The dogs.
Yeah.
Did you know that Renee hasn't brushed her hair while on a Zoom?
Yeah. At least the dogs won't tell anyone else about the gossiping you've been doing. That's when you get into trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's wrap up this morning with breakups. Have you ever broken up with someone, Alex? Have you been the break-upper-er?
Yes.
Are you good at it?
I'm very awkward. I once broke up with someone just before he picked me up to go to the movies.
Right.
And then we still went to the movies, even though we were now broken up, and I asked for an oversized sundae.
God. I'm terrible at it. No, it's not you. It's all me. It's not.
Oh, no, I'm honest. I'm like, it's you. I'm not taking this breakup as me. This is all you.
Well, a person's language or use of phraseology changes slightly, apparently, when we're about to be broken up with. So talk us through this one, Alex.
So this is kind of cool. It's all around how the ability to analyse language can actually detect subtle signs of a relationship changing or shifting. So psychologists actually used an analysis of thousands and thousands of social media posts, both from social media but also from places like Reddit. And what they found was that there were distinct patterns in the way someone spoke prior to breaking up with someone or after being broken up with, so going through the grieving period. So, for example, the person that's about to break up with someone is more likely to be overly complimentary to their partner because they're already feeling a bit anxious about what they're going to do and they already feel a sense of guilt possibly. But they also start using the word I a lot more. So I'm doing this and I on the weekend, I'm going to focus on whatever. And it's that slow separation of us or as a we.
So you've got to listen out for that letter that has the tittle above it.
Yeah, but just being mindful that people can shift in the way they speak because of other things in their lives, but they did find that in impending breakups actually did result in prior to that, detecting certain changes in the person's language and the way they spoke to them.
There you go. Keep an eye out for those things. You might be about to be shoved to the curve.
If
I can put it that way. Alex, you're always full of great stuff to chat about. That's why we shoot the breeze every Tuesday morning. More at thebigsmoke.com.au. You have a wonderful week and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Thanks so much.